Well, good morning. Glad you guys are here with us. And I want to say hello to everybody that's online right now watching. This is why we have this screen up here, so everybody that's online can see all of the sermon notes as well. So not for you guys, it's for everybody that's online. But I want to remind you that you can go online and to our main website, cbcowasso.org, and you can find all sorts of stuff right there that'll help you right now during the sermon. So I'm doing that right now. If you go to that, you scroll down to the bottom, it says give online. So you can do that. You can click on the Connect card and fill that out so we can get information about you. And there's a thing called Sermon Notes. So you click on that, takes you to another screen. And there we are, Believers of Faith today. And you can look at past notes. You can look at the notes and fill them in for today. And you can scroll through there and you can actually click on the empty boxes and you can fill those in. And then you can save them as a PDF. And I just realized there's a button that says view this without the blanks. So you can click on that and it has all the answers, which is cheating. But that's okay. You can do that as well. So you can follow along because we don't have any of the sheets right now because of the COVID thing going on. So we don't want to have to pass those out right now. But you can go online and get those. And it'd be great to be able to follow along with us this morning. So I'm going to jump right in. We're in the building blocks of the church. And so we've been looking at the last several weeks, several things that we as a church need to do based off of the book of Nehemiah to be a healthy and growing church. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about being a people of vision and how we need to have gospel-centered eyes for opportunities for ministry. That needs to be our focus. No matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in society, no matter what's going on in our church, in our community, we need to have gospel-centered eyes to see things differently, to be a people of vision. And then last week, on Father's Day, we talked about men of action. And in fact, we're talking to everyone that we all need to be passionate about something, passionate about something of the Lord, to the point that it causes us to want to do something. We need to be people who are moved to action. That needs to be one of the building blocks of our church. So let me ask this question as we get started today. How many of you guys like to read? Readers? Okay. All right. Some kids said, yeah. So a lot of you guys are readers. How many of y'all would rather read the book than watch the movie? Okay. So some of y'all, most of y'all would rather read the book. I'm telling you, I love to read. And it's every time, sometimes when you read a book, then the movie comes out and you go, okay, man, I'm gonna go watch the movie. It's gonna be great. And it seems like there's always this disappointment, this letdown when you do that because, man, the book is just, man, there's so much depth there to the book. I love to read. In fact, when I was little, I was in junior high, when I was in high school, the Left Behind series came out. And so the books came out and they would come out every 6 months or so, a new one would come out. And I would go to the Lifeway store that was in our town. And as soon as the day that book came out, I would be there and they had the big display with the new book and they're all in the hardback. They were expensive, like 25, 30 bucks or something. But it didn't matter. I saved up my money and I bought that book. And then I would read the entire book that day. I would just spend the rest of the day just like cramming, you know, like I'm cramming for a test. And I would just read the entire book because I love the stories and I wanted to know what was happening to the characters. Man, I love to read. Well, today we're going to jump into Nehemiah chapter 8. And so we've been talking about this building program that they had. And then as soon as the wall is finished, they want to read something. Like that is the desire of the people, which is very interesting. So we're going to look at that today. So let me back up, give you a little explanation about some things. So Ezra, as the kids' video explained, or Desra, okay, Ezra was a prophet, okay? So you have the book of Ezra, you have the book of Nehemiah, they're kind of going along the same situation, same time frame. And in 458 BC, Ezra began his prophet ministry in Jerusalem. So this was 13 years before Nehemiah showed up. So for 13 years, Ezra is preaching and he's reading and he's teaching everybody. He's like the spiritual leader of the community. And then Nehemiah shows up as the community leader and they begin to build the wall. Anybody know how long it took to build the wall? 52 days. That's all it took. 52 days they were able to build the wall, which compared to 13 years of Ezra's ministry, 52 days is really, really fast. And all of a sudden, things began to happen and the wall was built. And the wall was like salvation to the people of Jerusalem. It was their safety and security and their peace. It was what they needed. All of a sudden, they had this salvation kind of experience where they were not endangered by their enemies anymore. And so after this happens, they want to grow. Something changes, and they weren't satisfied with just having the walls done. They wanted something else, and they wanted to grow. And so today, we're going to look at what it looks like for us as a church to grow. And so kind of the building blocks of our faith, the different things we've talked about. We talked about being a people of vision. We talked about being a people of action. And today, we're going to talk about how we need to be believers of faith that do this one thing. One point for this sermon today is this. We need to be believers of faith who love the word of God. We need to be people who love the word of God. Simple as that, right? Real simple. And we're going to see this in Nehemiah chapter 8, what these people did. And I'm going to look at, we're going to scroll through all these different verses, about 12 verses. We're going to go through them and we're going to break them apart and just pause and talk a little bit about ways that they loved God's word. So how can we love God's word? Let's look at it, starting in verse 1. Here's what it says. Nehemiah chapter 8. All the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. And they asked Ezra, the scribe, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. So on October 8th, Ezra the priest brought the book of the law before the assembly, which included, get this, included the men and women and all the children old enough to understand. So here's the first point, if you're taking notes, about how we can love the word of God is this. We can share the Bible with everyone. Share the Bible to all ages. I want us to understand something this morning, that being young does not mean that you can't understand God's word. Little kids can know the word of God. And so, you know, I think that's really important as a church that we make sure we are explaining God's word to people. We tell them who Jesus is. We tell them about sin. Help them to understand their sinful state and sinful nature and how they can be saved. We tell people, especially little kids, about the word of God. We read God's word. And that should be something that we as a church should be a foundational aspect of who we are, that we are leaving a legacy to the next generation. And that legacy should be this, that we have a hunger and thirst for the word of God. That needs to be our legacy. And as a church, we actually do this. We do this pretty well. We have a lot of things going on for kids. We have, you know, the kids ministry. We have Vacation Bible School coming up. We have youth ministry. And we also have, you know, Grand Central Kids Preschool. There's lots of different ways. We spend a lot of resources, time, and energy on kids because we want them to know about the Word of God. But here's my question. What about you? Do you want to carry that legacy on? Do you want to send that legacy to the next generation of loving the word of God? Think about it in your family, with your kids, with your grandkids. Are you showing them how important the word of God is and teaching them the word of God? That is the first thing that they did. They went with a unified purpose, the Bible says. And it says they gathered all the people, not just the men, not just the women, but even the kids. Everybody was together for a purpose. And here's what happened. Verse 3, it says that Ezra, he faced the square just inside the water gate from early morning until noon and read aloud to everyone who could understand. And all the people, they did this. They listened closely to the book of the law. So here's the second point of how we can be people who love the word of God is this. We can bless the Lord with our attention. We can be people who focus and listen closely. We need to be people that bless the Lord with our attention. Why should we focus on the Bible? We should focus on the Bible because we need it, right? We need God's word in our lives. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." What is that saying? It's saying that the Bible is important. It's a guide for us. And we need this guide in our lives. We need God's word in our lives. And so here's a couple ways that we can focus on the text. I wrote down some things and three ways that we can pay attention while we are focusing on the text. And here's what we can do. Three ways to pay attention. We can honor God. This is what it does. When you focus and you pay attention, it honors God. I think that's really important to remember. When we think about, you know, reading scripture and it being a part of our lives, it actually brings God honor. It blesses the Lord. It blesses the Father. It's like if you if a father gives a gift to a child, to their child, and that child takes that gift and opens it up, what does that do for the dad? Brings him joy, right? Makes him happy. Man, oh man, I spent time, I spent money, I wrapped this thing, hopefully you wrapped it pretty well, and you want them to open it up. But what happens if your kid gets the gift and then just kind of sets it aside or throws it away? That's not very honoring to the dad, right? But God has given us this gift, God's word, and he wants us to open it and to read it, and it blesses him when we do that. Here's another reason we need to pay attention. It's good for your own soul. It's good for your own soul. It's profitable for you. It's a benefit for you. How many of you guys like to eat vegetables? Okay. Yeah, not many kids raising their hands. I mean, when I was little, I didn't like vegetables at all. Okay. I mean, I just didn't like vegetables. I'm a meat eater, right? And meat and bread and potatoes. That's what I ate. And I remember going to Golden Corral with my parents. Anybody go to Golden Corral? Okay. Like a buffet. Okay. So Golden Corral, man, go in there and I'd go through the meat line. I'd get, you know, all the meat. And then I would go and get those yeast rolls, that really good yeast rolls. And so I get those. And then I'd go put that plate down. And I always went back to the salad bar. And here's what was my salad, man. I would go to the salad and I would start off with a great, awesome, big mound of cheese. And so I'd get the cheese and then I would get the bacon bits, right? And so you get the bacon bits and then you put the croutons on top of that and you sprinkle those around and then you drizzle it with ranch dressing. That was my salad, okay? You know, I don't need any of the vegetables in my salad. You know, no thank you. I didn't start eating salad until I was in college, but now I eat vegetables all the time because I know they're good for me. And in fact, you know, I actually like the taste of them. It's crazy. Kids, there's hope for you. Someday, vegetables will hopefully taste good for you, good to you, and you can actually eat those. But man, that's not how God's word is. God's word does not taste bad. God's word is like ice cream, okay? How many of you guys like ice cream? Okay, yeah, more hands just raised up. More people like ice cream. But the deal is, if you eat a lot of ice cream, it's not good for you. But what if ice cream was good for you? Wouldn't that be awesome? If ice cream not only tasted great, but it was great for you, and it made you skinny and healthy, and you're like, I just want to eat ice cream all the day. That's kind of what it's like, the Bible for our soul. That not only does it taste great, not only is it just pleasing to us, but it's good for us. It's good for us. It's good for your soul. That's another reason why you should pay attention to God's word when it is read, when it is preached, and when you open it up and study it for yourself. And here's the third thing. It's a selfish thing. It encourages the preacher. Okay? It encourages the preacher. And that's not talking about just for me, but anyone who's up here and reading God's word, anyone who opens up the Bible and teaches in your Sunday school class, it is a benefit to them. It encourages them that what they are doing is right, that God has called them to. And it encourages them to continue to do that. And so we need to pay attention to scripture. And that's what they did. They gave great attention to the word of God. Number three, we need to worship the Lord as we read. So worship the Lord as you read. Let's look at it. Verses 5 and 6. Here's what they did. Ezra stood on the platform in full view of all the people. And when they saw him open the book, what did they do? They rose to their feet. So you can imagine they were, you know, just sitting down with their family and they got their kids and trying to keep them quiet. And they didn't have chairs probably back then. They were all just sitting in this giant open area, thousands of them. And they were sitting down. And all of a sudden when Ezra comes in and stands in front of everybody and he opens this scroll, they all rose to their feet. Then Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people chanted, what did they chant? Amen, amen. As they lifted their hands, then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. There's a lot of stuff going on there. So they're standing up, they're sitting down, they're raising their hands, they're screaming amen, amen. Then they're putting their face on the ground and worshiping. There's a lot of movement going on. But that's really not the point here. The movement, or the point is not their external action. It's not their movement. The point is their internal attitude. When they were reading, God's word, they were worshiping the Lord. We can see this in the amen, amen. Does anybody know what amen means? Because we say it all the time, right? We say it several times during the worship service. We say it, you know, after every prayer when we're eating. We're gonna pray before we eat. We always say amen. What in the world does that mean? Anybody know? Yeah, it means so let it be. It means so let it be. Man, what an incredible statement that is at the end of your prayer. When we pray in Jesus' name, we're saying, in Jesus' name, all the things that we just prayed about, we're saying, God, we agree with. And we're saying, let those things be. Man, that's awesome. And that's what they were doing. They were reading the word. So they were reading the Bible, the Old Testament, the scrolls, and they had rules in there. They had, you know, the Ten Commandments. They had all of the stories that the Jewish people went through and all the terrible things that happened to them, but also the great things that happened and God protecting them and watching over them. And they're saying, God, thank you. Thank you. Let it be. Amen. Amen. And they were worshiping the Lord. So do you read the Bible as an act of worship? Do you actually do that? And if you don't, I think what needs to change is your attitude. Let me give you an example. So here's maybe a difference between the right and wrong attitude, okay? If I'm reading Isaiah 53, which is a really great passage of scripture, here's how some of us read God's word. Isaiah 53, I'll start in verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Well, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him iniquity of Saul. Right? Sometimes we read God's word like that. And we just kind of check it off like something we have to do during the day. Maybe it's a devotion time. Or, man, I got to study for my Sunday school lesson. And we just check those boxes off. And we don't actually worship the Lord as we read. Instead, here's how we need to read God's word. Whether you're here up on stage, whether you're in your bedroom, here's how you need to read God's word. Surely he has borne our griefs and he's carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, meaning he took my penalty. He was crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And get this, with his wounds, we're not happy. It doesn't make us happy. It doesn't do that. It brings us healing. And with his wounds, we are healed from sin. And all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Haven't we? We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, God the Father, laid on his Son, the iniquity of us all. Man, that's a worshipful moment, right? When we read God's word, we need to worship him. Let's go on. Verse 7 through 8 says this, the Levites show up. Let me stop there. So they had this big platform. Ezra's in the middle, maybe at a big podium, I don't know. And he was reading the scrolls. And so the Bible says he had 13 of his kind of followers, leaders with him, and they were helping him on stage, like bringing scrolls to him and, I don't know, glass of water. I don't know what was going on, but they were helping him out. And then they had 13 Levites. And these Levites were different kind of people. They were from the tribe of Levi, and all priests were Levites. And so these, in essence, were the teachers. They were the priests. And it says there were 13 of them, and here's what they did. It says the Levites, they instructed the people in the law while everyone remained in their places. So everyone stayed where they're at. I don't know if they're with their families. Maybe they're with their tribes, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel. Maybe they kind of grouped up like that. And they remained where they were. And it says they read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. So here's what happened. They helped each other understand. And that's what we need to do. If we really, as a church, if we love the word of God, we need to help people understand. That's what the Levites did, which is crazy. This is probably the first time in the Bible where there is maybe small groups, okay? So they had small group time. So you can imagine Ezra's up there. He's got the scroll up and he's reading with a loud voice. And then he pauses. All the Levites kind of, says they kind of maybe went to different parts of the crowd. And they went in front of him and said, all right, hey. Here's what Ezra was saying, right? Let's talk about it. Just us right here, you know? And began they get together in small groups and they began to help them understand the word of God. That's what the Bible says. Help them to understand what they were actually reading. Because you know what? When you read the Bible and you're like, I have no idea what that means, that's very frustrating. It can keep you from even wanting to read it. But that's not what they did. They understood that it was important that as a people that they could know God's word and be able to actually apply it to their lives. And the result of them doing this was that it says that people were able to understand the word of God. Have you ever considered what a great benefit that is to understand and know the word of God? Wouldn't that be terrible if you read it and you're like, man, this is some riddle, some mystery, and I don't know what's going on. This is frustrating. I just don't want to do this anymore. No, we actually can understand the word of God. It's simple and it's clear. And here's the crazy thing. God gives us the Holy Spirit to know it even better. And when you become a Christian, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and he helps us to be able to read and understand the word of God. I mean, I see that in my own life. Like I'll read a portion of scripture one year and, you know, and God kind of teaches me from this angle about this scripture. And then the next year I'll be reading the same thing. And all of a sudden he teaches me from this other angle. He like teaches me something new. It's awesome how God's word does that and how the Holy Spirit does that. We see this 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to read verse 12. Here's what it says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. We have this spirit inside of us and helps us to clearly understand the things of God. We need to know the word intimately. This is what we need to do. How many guys have ever like wrestled when you were little? Okay? Maybe you did that in school, whatever. Man, I know Noah's is a big wrestler, right? He's challenged me a couple times, so I'm still telling him I'm getting in shape. So we're gonna have a wrestling competition someday. But man, when you wrestle someone, you get to know them really well, don't you? Right? I mean, there's sweat. You're touching things you shouldn't be touching. I mean, things happen, right? When you're wrestling, that's just how it is, right? You can't wrestle with someone and say, hey, stay away from me. Like, we got to have social distancing. No, I mean, when you're wrestling with someone, you're getting there and you are just intimately knowing them, okay? That's what it's like to wrestle. I mean, that sounds weird, but that's what wrestling is like. And here's the deal. That's how we need to interact with God's word. We need to know it intimately. We need to take God's word and we need to wrestle with it, right? We need to understand it. We need to say, what is this actually saying? Holy Spirit, teach me. Man, I don't want to just read this and just close the book. I want to open it up and go, man, what is this actually saying? What is it teaching me? And take a moment and try to figure it out. And if you don't know, man, go online, Google it, right? Go online, figure it out. Ask somebody, get a study Bible, get a commentary, and read it and understand it. And that's what it means to understand God's word. You know, I would say this. If you really want to know God's word, get in a small group, right? Get in a Sunday school class. That's where you spend about an hour once a week and you get to study God's word and apply it to your life and talk about it and discuss it and hear someone else's perspective. And man, you leave from there and go, man, that's awesome. I got to know God's word better and better every single week. I hear number five is this. How can we love the word of God? We can respond with repentance. Respond with repentance. Let's look at the last couple of verses, 9 through 12. Here's what it says. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, man, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For why do they say that? Why do they go to them and say that? Here's what it says. For the people had all been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. And Nehemiah continued and said, no, man, you need to go and celebrate with a feast. So the people went away to eat and drink at a festival meal, to share gifts of food, and to celebrate with great joy because they had heard God's word and understood them. How do you know that they were repentant? Because they were weeping, right? Look at their response to God's word. What were they weeping about? As you read God's word, you know what happens? You begin to see your sin. You begin to see your fallen nature, and you begin to see who God is. And when you compare yourself to God, man, that's not a good day, right? There's a lot of weeping in your spirit when you realize just how bad you've messed up. And Nehemiah and Ezra said, hey guys, we understand. We're weeping too. We understand how God's word has affected us. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes, get this, our innermost thoughts and desires. Whew. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Oh, that's a tough verse. That is not one you put on a mug, right? Yeah, that's a tough one. What is it saying? It's saying when you read God's word, it calls you to repentance. It changes you because you realize what you've done. But the gospel message in the middle of this, and we see this, Nehemiah and Ezra say, guys, don't weep anymore. Have joy. And that's what the word of God does. It calls us to repentance. It calls us to obedience. It calls us to trust God. But it also calls us to joy. It calls us to joy. So if we were to go back and look at the very beginning of Nehemiah, and we see everything that happened the first couple of verses, first couple of chapters, and we see the wall being built. And what really happened for them is they were saved, right? They were rescued from their enemy. That's what happened in their lives. But the story doesn't end there because the story goes on and they want God's word in their hearts. They were saved, but then they want God's word in their hearts. And for us, we need that as well. We need both. We need Jesus, but we also need God's word. So let me just tell you real quick. I think it's important that we say from stage that, man, every one of you, every one of us needs Christ in our lives. You know, this story, Nehemiah, would be backwards if they read God's word and they began to worship him, do all those things without the walls being built. They needed salvation. And we need salvation first. Every one of us needs Jesus in our lives and realize that we are sinners and we need a savior. That our sin sends us directly to hell when we die. And that's a sad place, a sad thing to think about. But when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it changes us. It is our safety. It is our security. He is our peace. And he brings peace between us and the Father. And he bridges that gap. And all we got to do, we don't have to do great things. We don't have to be perfect people. We just need to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's what we need to do. So I want to call anybody here that has never done that. I want to invite you to do that, to trust in Jesus. We've been talking about loving God's word. Man, you need to know Jesus first. Get to know Jesus. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that here in just a little bit. But for everyone, all of us, the rest of us, man, we need to love God's word. It doesn't just end there. It doesn't just end with our salvation experience. When I was 10 years old, when I was saved, when I was 10, man, it continues every single day, my relationship with the Lord. We need to be people. We need to be a church that loves God's word. And when that happens, we're going to be healthy. And when that happens, we're going to grow for God's glory. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the text this morning. Thank you for teaching us out of the book of Nehemiah and how you even take old stories from the Old Testament and you point us to Jesus. And we thank you, God, that we can have safety and security and peace. We can have salvation through the blood of Christ who died on the cross to save us from our sins. We just have to accept it and receive it. So Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this room that's not done that, that God, here in a minute, that they would go and they would do that. They would make themselves available to you, and they would get right with you, God. And they'd be forever changed. They'd be rescued from you or by you. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would, as a church, you would teach our church, Lord, what it means to love your word fresh and anew. Lord, that we would worship you, that we would want everyone to be able to experience the text, the word of God. That it would call us to repentance, that it would change us and move us to action. God, we want this book to be central in our lives and central for our church. So God, help us as we build our church, as we grow it, as we make it healthy. Lord, I pray that you would help us to respond by turning towards your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.